In the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, Palm Sunday is a day that is rich in irony. I confess I often feel a bit conflicted as a priest when we make you all as a congregation, and every church does this, so you're not alone, but I feel conflicted because when we make you all as a congregation wave palm branches around during the procession, we're putting you in the center of that irony. Y'all get what I'm saying here? So think again about the story we read as we processed in this morning. As Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he's heralded by the crowd who calls him blessed, the Messiah and the Son of David. And they cry out, Hosanna, which literally means save now. Yet, as we know, these enthusiastic people, all of us who stand and wave our palm branches, every one of them, the last person, will have abandoned Jesus within 5 days' time. So with apologies, that's the role you've been given to play this morning. You've been set up. I'm sorry about that. And this irony is highlighted by what happens directly following our Palm Sunday reading from Matthew. In verse 12 of Matthew 21, Jesus cleanses the temple. He enters the temple courts and drives out all who are buying and selling there, overturning the tables of the money changers. Now, in case you missed it, there's also a deep symbolism in Jesus' actions here. Some of you may remember that at Christmas this past year, we talked about how the visible, physical manifestation of God's Spirit had actually left the temple during the time of the prophet Ezekiel. And that visible, physical manifestation of God's Spirit does not return until 600 years later, on the night that Jesus was born. And really, it returns in the person of Jesus, who is himself the visible, physical manifestation of God. So here on Palm Sunday, as he enters the temple, Jesus is symbolically reenacting the return of God's Spirit to the temple. And as God's Spirit returns in Jesus, it does so with words of judgment. You have turned my father's house into a den of robbers. And I confess, I was especially struck this year by those words. You have turned my father's house into a den of robbers. There's a great story about a very proper Episcopal church where one Sunday, a homeless guy came in wearing all his street clothes, carrying his bags, and admittedly smelling somewhat foul. When he came in, he just walked up to the front row and plopped down there in the front pew. And so the priest comes up to him before the service and says to him, "Son, I don't know what you're thinking, but this is the house of God. Why don't you go out this week and ask God what you should wear when you come to church?" So a week goes by, and the next Sunday, the same homeless guy comes back in, dressed just the same way, still carrying his same bags, and plops down again in the first pew. So the priest comes up to him before the service again and says to him, "Son, did you do what I told you?" And the homeless guy said, "Yeah, I did, Pastor. And God said, I don't know. I've never been to that church." Now that joke is funny, but it also presses a hard question. The same hard question pressed upon us by Palm Sunday. How many of our churches has the Spirit of God left? How many of our churches has God never visited? Here's some honesty for you on Palm Sunday morning. The Episcopal Church is dying. Many churches, of course, are struggling in a post-Christian era, especially having just come through a pandemic. But we need to be honest. We're dying faster than anyone else. Across the denomination, we've lost 25% of our membership in just the last 10 years, which is a scary stat on its own. Perhaps the scarier stat is that the average age of an Episcopalian is now 69 years old. Now, I hasten to say I rather like 69-year-olds. I aspire to be one myself one day. And if you're 69 or older, please know you are much loved here. That being said, if the average life expectancy in the United States is currently around 77 years, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to agree with sociologist Ryan Burge that our church is, quote, on the brink of a collapse. Now that's bad news, but for my part, bad news is always better faced head on. There's no point in living in denial about it. And that's in part because if we do face it head on, we realize that there is also still hope. The full shape of our hope is, of course, the story that we tell throughout this coming week, and I won't get ahead of ourselves here. But at this point, let me say that in nearly 20 years of ministry, having helped churches grow at every level, I've learned two unassailable truths about church vitality. The first is that where the Spirit of God is, there is life. Where the Spirit of God is, there is life. And the second is, in those places that God has left or never visited, it doesn't matter how good your theology is, or how precise your liturgy is, or how exciting your programming is, or how sound your organizational structure, or your financial health, or your strategic plan, or whatever else is. As important as all those things are, they mean nothing unless the Spirit of God is present. Recall these words Jesus says just before leaving the temple on that first Palm Sunday. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill those who are sent to you. How often I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. God longs for that. And yet, Jesus says, you were not willing. Now see, your house is left to you desolate. So here's the good news, and with it, an invitation. Jerusalem in Jesus' day may not have been willing, but I know that the clergy and the leadership of this church are. I can't speak for the whole Episcopal Church, but I know how deeply and how fervently Adrian and Denise and I and many other in leadership and here at the church converse with God and pray for all of you who gather here. And I know that out there, many of you sitting in the pews today or joining us from home, many of you long to see the Spirit of God fill the halls of this church too. And so the invitation, as we enter again into the passion of our Lord, invite God to dwell richly in your hearts and in this place. Ask God to fill this place again and again with God's Spirit, even if he has to turn over some tables in order to do it. And let's see. If we seek ye first the kingdom of God, let's see what God will do.